Welcome to Soul Care Culture, a podcast by Biblical Counseling Ministries. Through each of these conversations, we want to glorify God by helping church leaders just like you develop an empowering culture of biblical soul care. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, welcome, Pastor. You've got an exciting one today. We have the Schellenbergs with us, Nate and Dara, and we're going to talk about residential ministry. And Schellenbergs have been interwoven within this type of ministry for a period of years, so you're in for a treat today. So, Nate, what is residential ministry? And if I think about a continuum of discipleship, and all the way from just very basic, I'm in a Bible study, all the way to the very end where I really need to go away for a whole year possibly and be working on my life dominating sin, whatever that sin is. We typically think of drugs and alcohol in this space, but there can be any other variety of sins that can dominate somebody's life instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So talk to that pastor. Introduce them to residential ministry, dear friend.
Okay, well, this is really exciting. We just pressed play, and I just got really nervous. So looking forward, though, to hopefully bring some encouragement to the pastors out there that are dealing with this in their church. I think that that is a key element of what a residential ministry we're seeking to do in a residential ministry is that these are people that life-dominating sin is happening in our churches, right? We do have people that in all types of situations, whether it be substance abuse, sexual sin, whether it's lying. You could have somebody who is stuck in a life-dominating sin of lying, and the consequences have gotten to such an extent that it's really controlling how their life is functioning. And so I think of, you talk about that kind of discipleship to very intensive counseling, and a residential ministry fits into that culture of soul care on more of the intensive side. So I think of, you have regular discipleship, you have maybe more in the SWAT team, as you say it, mm-hmm. with biblical counseling, with lay members of the church, moving into maybe more of a crisis counseling scenario where a couple comes in and is spending an extended time with the pastor, or even going to something like a retreat program where they're spending a weekend being counseled. And then I think that a residential program fits into the end of that process, where through either biblical counseling or through a crisis counseling situation, the church identifies that, hey, this person, their life is being controlled and dominated by this sin. And we believe that the time and the resource required to really minister to them, we don't have that ability right now.
I want to piggyback off that time and resource, because what I've heard from some of the pastors, and actually through you too, as you've observed one of your pastors, there's a gentleman in your church that I think I remember hearing, like, it can take 8 hours a week. Like, these are so heavy. Like, talk to that, because that's a real problem for pastors. Like, where do you fit that in? And how do you prepare for your sermon? How do you do all of your activities? And then you have one person that has such a demanding need to minister to mm-hmm. them that it can really, that's a problem. I don't know how pastors can do that.
Yeah, well, and I think, I'm currently doing a biblical counseling internship at Liberty Bible Church. And what's been a real learning experience for me is getting to watch our pastoral team and the men I'm getting to serve alongside with wrestle with wisdom issues every day. And like you said, there are some situations where life-dominating sin is involved that just take lots of time. Lots of, if you think about a way I would describe it, and I think that most pastors would probably resonate with this, a life-dominating sin is something that it's affecting every area of this person's life. To use the the concept of a biblical worldview, their worldview is shaped in unbelief. They're believing things that are untrue about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a residential program would be coming alongside those churches and these pastors and saying, hey, guys who are experiencing life-dominating sin are struggling to know how to apply the gospel of Jesus Christ to basic everyday decisions. And so they really need that modeled for them. And so for a pastor, modeling that to somebody who is in a life-dominating sin situation is super time-consuming. You're taking phone calls. They're trying to process their life now in a new way that's informed by the gospel. And that's labor-intensive. And so I think that that's where this ministry really has an opportunity to minister to pastors, to really minister to the church, is that I think a residential ministry can bring structure to those men's lives in a meaningful way that allows the church to still do what the church needs to do, allows the pastor to prepare a sermon for Sunday, but also allows them to minister to that man in a genuine way without having to worry about them being in a secure place, being in a stable place. And they're not, the counseling that they're receiving is not being constantly undone by growing pains of them learning how to follow Jesus Christ. And so I think that there's a real sweet picture that can be there of how this could serve a pastor, because their burden is very real and very heavy in that.
Yeah, and I like that you emphasize serving the pastor, because I think in my experience with really the limited options out there in terms of solutions for a quality biblical residential ministry, whether it's men or women, what can be done, sadly, is it's just another way to send people down the street. So mm-hmm. we're really coming alongside that pastor to say, Pastor, these are your sheep. We're not trying to take your sheep. These are your sheep. We're coming alongside you to help you shepherd your sheep. Mm-hmm. But we're going to help you carry those heavy stones up the hill, because that can be really, really burdensome on that pastor.
Yeah. I think I might let my wife speak to this a little bit, but her dad was a program director for residential men's ministry for many years. And one of the things that I often hear him talking about was that the churches that were involved in the men's life, when they would come and do a member of that church that was connected with the man in the program would come during the week and do a one-on-one Bible study with them, or do kind of some informal counseling around the coffee table with that individual, it ministered powerfully to those men, because there was a church out there that was intimately connected with them. And so I think that we have, my prayer is that in a residential program, you can minister to the pastor by taking the burden of the each moment discipleship of that person, but still give them a real voice into that individual's life, knowing full well that that individual is going to come out of this program and need to be connected to the body of Christ. And I think that's something that, you know, Dara might speak to really well here, because I think a lot of our family actually came out of this program. And so I'll let her say a little bit about that maybe.
Yeah, so maybe giving a little background. So my family moved to a residential program when I was in high school, and it was a really neat opportunity to get to. We actually lived on the property, and our family just got to love on the guys and be Jesus to them, and in turn we learned a lot from them. And we joke, but we got all of our brother-in-laws through the program. So I have two sisters, and both of them married one of the guys who graduated or transitioned out of the program. And we love them both dearly. And as well as one of my cousins actually went through the program, and he is doing amazing today. He actually goes to the same church as we do, and he's married now, has a little girl, and it's just been really neat to really hear all three of their stories of where the Lord has brought them from, and getting to literally watch them today and see how God is growing them moment by moment. And we're growing with them, and they're teaching us a lot of things too. It's really cool. But
I like your humility in that, because when we come alongside people that have very serious, intensive sins like that, it's a fresh reminder that whenever I'm near that, I'm like, I'm only like one or two bad decisions away from some of these people. Like, no way do I come into this thinking like, I've got to figure it out. And then they don't. Like, if we if we look down on these people, shame on us.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that has been, even both of my parents, they came from a past of substances and being caught in that, and the Lord rescued them out of that. And like you said, Mike, I'm just as capable of ending up down those roads. And we're all idolatry. We all struggle with
that. Yeah, in God's eyes, there's not this huge difference from these sins. It's just knowing how to have the expertise and further equipping to know how to be a surgeon to these people that are having this specific type of problem, that they're really stuck, significantly stuck. They don't know how to get out.
Yeah, I think.
And everything they've tried usually has just made it worse.
I agree. And I don't know, I think that's where it's just so exciting that we get to share the hope of the gospel and share even what God's doing in our lives. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead is now living inside of us.
Amen.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so. And both of your stories of how this type of ministry has been interwoven into the fabric of your life is really so interesting. And I'm not surprised that you're feeling this type of calling in the ministry that you're moving into. You know, I think again, around the country, I'm not aware of a lot of quality biblical counseling focus, gospel-centered, true residential type of ministries. And we've talked before about one of our favorite locations over at Faith, and Faith Church there has both a men's ministry called Faith Restoration and a women's residential ministry called Vision of Hope. And I've been through tours multiple times now of both of those, and I'm so impressed. And we were just actually at the Faith Conference here a couple of weeks back, and Nate and I had the privilege of being toured through the Faith Restoration. And maybe, Nate, just give a picture of what you saw. I know we didn't have a lot of time there, and you're intending on going back again, but like, just give a picture to that pastor, because like, even I've visited multiple times, but every time I went back, it was like, wow, I'm seeing different things this time. It's really remarkable. But just like, paint a picture of what we saw a couple of weeks ago at Faith Restoration.
Yeah, I think that they have a really special example of how this can work practically. So the way that they're kind of functioning is they have a location out in the country where it's removed from the hustle and bustle of the city and the various temptations that can come from that. Most of the programs that I have seen that do this well are kind of somewhat removed. There's a certain degree of protection there, and even just as an accountability for the men, if they want to leave in a way that is ungodly and not through the proper channels, they're going to have to walk multiple miles in the middle of the night to get somewhere else. And so it's a deterrent that really helps them process through that temptation to often run from their problems. And so again, you see that with the location like Restoration. You also see that they do class every day. Weekly, the men are participating in kind of intensive biblical counseling that typically is longer than a typical hour session. It sounds like they typically go an hour and a half, 2 hours. And in other programs that we've been involved with, and the one as well that Dara's dad was the program director at, the counseling often goes longer. And again, that's a real opportunity to interject the Word of God into their life circumstances. And then as a part of that program, and this is where kind of that biblical modeling and life-on-life discipleship happens, is they have a business that they run. And I think that that's a great opportunity for the leadership there to actually work alongside the men. And if you know anything about life-dominating sin, a lot of times in those areas of pressure in our life is where our sinful tendencies come out. So let's get a bunch of guys together. Let's go to work. And I've spent many years in the building trades, and if you're roofing a house, sinful tendencies come out of everyone. So it's a great opportunity to have on-the-job counseling, so to speak, where you're counseling as you're living with these guys. And so I think that that's a really powerful tool in the hand of a residential ministry that is difficult for a pastor to have that capability because they have so many other things on their plate. And again, just one thing going back to our experience with our family, without jumping around too much, to add to what my wife said, I think that I can't stress enough the importance of the local church's connection to a ministry like this. That's another powerful thing that faith and restoration have done in Lafayette, is they have a strong connection to their church. And I think that it's really important that the guys are connected to a local church. I think all of the brother-in-laws, a key element of their process was connection to the local body. As they came out of that program, the love and the being brought into the family of God very intentionally was crucial to that process. And then also, you know, again, we've mentioned this before, but these are guys that are actively in your church. And so I get a lot of questions oftentimes of, hey, you know, do we really want that type of person in our church? And my answer to that is the church is not for perfect people, right? And we know that. We hear that all the time. Two, they're already there. And so for somebody who's got a life-dominating sin, I would far rather them be in the church and know that they're getting help and that we know who they are and we can help minister to them. So for you, pastor, who is like, I don't know how to minister to somebody that's got such a powerful sin struggle, well, I think that this could be a real tool for that pastor to say, you know what, actually you are what these guys need, and we can help you wade through the mess of it, and strengthen you to do what God's will is for the church, which is to heal, help heal broken people. And so,
I want to give a fresh testimony to that. So Kara and I were just at Pontiac Bible worshiping this Sunday, a couple days ago, and I watched that happen right in front of us. It was so cool. So all of a sudden, these 20 young men come walking in with a leader, and they sit right behind us. And I'm like, well, this is kind of interesting. What's this group? So it was Salem Youth Ranch here in Central Illinois, and the leader of this group brought them to church. And the way I watched the church love on and accept this group, as well as watching the leader work mm-hmm. with these guys right there during the service and right after the service, was beautiful. I'm like, mm-hmm. that's it right there. So you have to have a church that welcomes that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to have the leader of these ministries recognize and work the importance of the local body. Because I think God gives us his power in this, different than other type of approaches to life-dominating sins these days. We have the Word of God, which is our source of truth. we have the power of God through the Spirit, and then we have the people of God in the church. And if you take any one of those away, I'm going to suggest that the stool falls over. What do you think about that?
I think absolutely. You know, I work with a diagram in my counseling training and have done some teaching on it in classes where, you're talking about holding up a bridge, right? And it's kind of like you talked about being in God's word, being in prayer, the fellowship of the body and serving others are all crucial pillars in our spiritual disciplines. And so what we're trying to do is help these guys know what it means to be in a residential program. We're trying to help guys understand what it means to be a godly man. And so, you know, again, we do that in how we organize every element of that program. So you get up in the morning, and there's a time that you're in your Bible. And so what's unique is that as those men are in the Bible that morning, the leadership is at home in their Bible, preparing for that day, eating of the sweet honey of God's word, right? Delighting in God. Then you come, you have a quick morning class. Again, we're ensuring that we're dedicating that the first fruits of that time to the Lord of each day. And then we're working together, and we're working hard together and trying to reinforce that role of a man and a husband to be a provider and a protector to his family. And then they're not done there. You know, that's where you're going to a Bible study at a local church, or a Bible study is coming to them from that church, and they're interacting with their church body. And so I think that there's a real powerful example, a real powerful connection there, like you said, that the stool won't stand without all those components being present.
Yeah, that's good. And it's bringing to my mind your vision. Of course, we're honing in on the men's ministry, residential ministry right now, but you've had a vision, both of you together, that you've thought about of how the men's ministry could possibly help and supplement a woman's residential ministry. Just share a glimpse of what that could look like.
Well, so again, if we were one day, Lord willing, able to start a ministry like this and have a business where the men are working to both provide for their stay there and cover the cost of the ministry, but even potentially, my hope is that there would be enough resource generated through that process that those men would actually have an avenue to, through their work, provide some of the funding to start a women's residential program. And so I think that that gives a real biblical picture. Again, we're trying to help these men know what it means to model biblical leadership in a family. And so what a better way to do that than for part of what they're working for to provide for women who are in a similar situation, women and children who are in that situation. And so, I think that's a dream. That seems like a far off big dream right now, but we're excited to see what the Lord might be able to do through something like that.
Yeah, that is exciting. Super exciting. So talk to the pastor a little bit about, because you were bringing up, I brought up the discipleship continuum. So if I think about where it starts getting more intense, where maybe it's a three-day retreat, and then maybe there's a realization that maybe that's not even intense enough. So like, where would the pastors see the line between regular counseling in their church, which is maybe 1-2 hours a week kind of a thing, to go then to the next level would be retreat, where the people are going in a very intensive way for like a three-day biblical counseling retreat. And then the next step is that residential. Like, where would you see the lines, or what would the pastor need to be thinking about to identify each one of those steps?
That's a really good question. So the thing that I think of is, again, life dominating. If you're in counseling and you're hearing these things over and over again, like I know I got a problem, but I just can't see a way out. I can't see a path through this. A lot of times in life dominating sin, those men struggle with wanting to gratify the desires of their flesh immediately. So you see that even in sanctification. I want to be instantly sanctified. And when I can't be instantly sanctified, I want to give up on the process. You see them living in that immediate moment, not able to look beyond the next moment. They're just kind of surviving. A lot of times when they're in that position, you're actually doing counseling that is almost delayed counseling, where you're beginning to teach. And if your whole worldview is messed up, right? If your whole understanding of what the world should look like is messed up, and the consequences of that are really severe, right? So you're gonna lose your marriage if you don't get out of this situation. You're going to overdose on heroin if you don't get out of this situation. You're going to financially bankrupt your family if you don't get out of this situation. You have those situations in a life, and those things take time to unwrap. And so as you're counseling an individual like that, in my experience watching, the time it takes, you're teaching all these things up front about the gospel and how the gospel can change their life. And they're so unstable in those initial months that there comes a point in which it clicks for them. And all that teaching that didn't make sense for those months all of a sudden makes sense in that moment. And that is so far down the road for a pastor. If you think of Dare's dad, speaks of this all the time, that he said typically the first 3 months he was recognizing that the teaching that he's doing, they're so foggy in their head, either from coming off of drugs or from the pressures of life and the way that they were living, that they're having trouble seeing any of what he's teaching. So if you think of that, they're counseling multiple times a week. They're doing multiple classes a week. They're pouring into this guy daily. For a pastor, that could take a year to get to that point where you've gotten that man to a place where he is stable, right? It takes 3 months in a program where you're trying to do it every day. It could take a year to get to that place for a pastor. And so I think if you're seeing that situation in a member of your church where you're like, okay, this guy, he needs so much time to help him, and the delayed aspect of the teaching, if we don't get him into a secure situation, it's going to be too late. I don't have time to wait for him to get it. You know, the consequences are so severe that we need to get him out of this now. And I think that's where residential ministry really shines, is that, hey, we're moving that guy out of this dangerous, destructive situation, putting them in a place with a lot of structure, and allowing God's word to work itself out and that delayed teaching to take effect in a safe place where they're not going to destroy their family and the people that are around them.
Yeah, I like the way that you emphasize the consequences of this type of counselee is more severe, very life-threatening, life-crushing type of sins that has more consequences. And so, Dara, having grown up and seeing the inside workings of this type of ministry, what would you say to that pastor? What are some things that people don't know about that type of ministry? Like, you've got an insight there that I suspect pastors that have had no experience with this or knowledge, they're like, so I'm going to send this person away for a year. And so they're not really sure. And then also, like, what should I know about these people that are ministering to my people? Like, what are some of the insights of that that you've seen, or maybe some things that you'd be like, I'm confident nobody knows this that hasn't lived it. Does that make sense?
Well, on a light note, when you're playing frisbee in the backyard, the guys may come play frisbee with you.
Okay. That's a real life thing.
Yeah, no, actually, it was really cool getting to live there, where, yeah, in some ways it was a thing where if we were having a fire, we invited some of the guys to come just have a fire and eat s'mores with us and invite them into our family for a little bit. And so that was something that you may not think of, just living there. I think it, I mean, there are definitely some challenges as well that came with that, but also a lot of blessings that came with that. So,
well, I'm thinking of the calling part of this. Like, I'm one that believes anybody that's called to be a counselor within the biblical counseling realm, that's a specialized calling. Not good or bad, you know, no different than call it a preaching pastor. This type of space, if you're not called to this, you won't last very long. And then what you're talking about with this type of ministry, if that's not a calling with the very high level of intensity and being willing to share your life, because that's what you just described. We're going to share life with these people. Boy, that is a calling in itself, I believe. That's my own conviction. And I think it would become clear that people wouldn't last very long unless this is a calling of God.
Yeah, and I think that's something where the Lord just laid it on my husband and I's heart, that these are the people that we really want to minister to. And it's a mission field.
Yeah.
It's
I like the way Nate said, these are my, what did you call it, my people group?
Or, this is my people group.
My people, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to China.
Yeah. And I think in the beginning of our marriage, we've been married about 10 years now, and we were praying about going to the mission field. And I remember us just praying and saying, oh, Lord, we want to go, but we don't know where to. And so we kept praying about it, and the Lord just kept shutting all the doors to go overseas. And in the next 10 years, my husband, as he said, was working at trades and working alongside guys who would come to work and go home and drink and just lose themselves in that, and then come home and do it all over again. And that just gave both of us a real heart and burden for them and their families, as they're all together suffering in that way, and to know that the hope of the gospel is there. And so I think for us personally, that's part of how the Lord just has called us to that. We've worked alongside these people, and again, they're no different than us. It just so happens that the things that they've turned to in their suffering, like you said, has very dire consequences many times. And it's destroying their lives, their families' lives, many times by the time one of the men is coming to a program like this, they're losing their families. They've burnt all the bridges. They probably don't have much left financially to their name. And if they do, they're just falling apart. And so it's a blessing to get to the opportunity to minister to them. And like we said, we got half our family through this program, and we love them dearly. So
I appreciate how you're bringing up the component of the family, because the thought just came to me as you described that often that counselee that's stuck in this life-dominating sin, they've probably lost hope. They're believing a bunch of lies. But the family probably has really lost hope. They're probably at the end of their rope, and they're like, I don't know what to do with this. Pastor, what should I do? So something like this to serve the church would have to be an incredible hope for the family, too.
Yeah. I Actually, I think that that's the strongest argument for why this type of ministry cannot be separated from the local church, because these guys that are coming through a program like this, they do have families. And one of the things that I think is a difficulty in other programs that are out there is that they're not ministering to the family as a whole. And so in various ministries that we've witnessed and been a part of, that was a real asked for component is, hey, can my wife come and participate in some marriage counseling through this process? And so I think it would be a great picture if we could do intensive counseling with that individual with life dominating sin. And then because we have a partnership with their local church, one, that family is being loved and cared while they're in this program by that church. And then to boot, as they're coming to a place where they're stable, we're handing some of that counseling off to that church and saying, hey, do marriage counseling with these couples. We want to see them as they're coming out of this program not have to learn how to then be a husband in their context with no guidance, with no help, because they've just had a radical life change. And so we're just going to feed them back to the wolves with no guidance. That's a terrible idea. That's where the church really is a crucial aspect of this whole process, is it's not just one person, it's a family. And so I think that there's a real argument for the church being a crucial connection in this process.
And I was just going to say too, just the blessing that these men can be to the church. I remember a time where, because we always took the men with us to church every Sunday and then Wednesday nights and to church events so that they could too be a part of the church family. And there was one time where we had, it was like a bonfire event in the fall. And I remember the pastor of our church and some of the other members just sitting around the fire with the guys, and everyone was sharing their hearts and sharing what the Lord was doing. And I just remember how much that encouraged our pastor. And he came away from that just so uplifted to get to see God working in these men's lives. And so I just, and it was an encouragement to us too as the fam to get to watch the men and the church members just mingle together. And so that was just a really neat experience. And there was lots of things like that happened. So
I love when God works in that way, everybody's getting blessed. And I would not have thought about that specific blessing back to the pastor by watching and connecting with the people that are being served in this type of ministry. Well, this has been fun, and BCM is exploring right now, and along with your church elders, the possibility of birthing a residential ministry of this sorts in Central Illinois under the BCM ministry. So, so pastors or even investors or anybody that may be listening to this, if this grabs your heart, would you please email me through the website, bcmnational.org. We're really seeking at this point partners that would be willing to pray, churches that would want to get on the ground level with this, because this is a significant build. I've proposed to Nate and Dara that this could be a 3-year build to really do this well. And thankfully, we have gracious, generous people over at Faith, like Pastor Greg, that you're going to have some extra time with, that's running the Faith Restoration Ministry. They're really excited to help us. And to be able to have a ministry like this in Central Illinois with a very focused motive of, we are going to connect with the church. We're not trying to just build this standalone counseling center. We are coming alongside the church to encourage these pastors. So I hope this can be one of the solutions that would serve, strengthen, and encourage that pastor, especially those pastors out there of the smaller, medium-sized churches where something like this, I got to think, is completely overwhelming. You have one or two of these type of people in your church, and either that pastor's probably like saying, I have no idea what to do with this. And sadly, those are the people that run down the street and receive help from different approaches that aren't really focused on Jesus Christ. So the need is significant. We've seen that together already from some of the pastors and churches that we've talked about at 100,000 foot level with this concept that the need is there, the interest is there. So please contact me. This is the invite that we would like to talk with you and see if you're interested in helping us explore this and potentially build this. So Nate and Dara, thank you for your willingness to do this. Thank you for the faithfulness in pursuing this calling. This is a heavy, heavy stuff, but the need is great. And thank you for highlighting some of the blessings as well as the inner workings of how a residential ministry works, because I think these pastors will appreciate getting a glimpse of the reality of what this is and how that can serve and bless them. So thank you both so much.
Thank you, Mike.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, God bless.
Thanks for listening to Soul Care Culture, a podcast by Biblical Counseling Ministries. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future conversations. And we want you to know that we're here for you. To learn more about our Biblical Counseling Blueprint model, head to our website at bcmnational.org. Again, that's the letters bcmnational.org. We'll see you next time.